Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Today we begin the last sections of Matthew chapter 26, Matthew 26, verses 57 to 75. It begins on about page 9 on your study guide. The Passover meal has just concluded. Judas left in the middle of the Passover meal to actually go and to tell the leaders where Jesus was going to be. Remember, Judas sold out on Jesus and wanted to tell the leaders where they could find him. Well, Jesus and the disciples then, after the Passover meal, left to go to the Mount of Olives. While on their way to the Mount of Olives, Jesus told the disciples that this day, Zechariah 13:7 will be fulfilled. That is, as they strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And in response to that, Peter says, though all will be offended in you, I will not be offended in you. And Jesus says to Peter, not only will you be offended in me, but this night, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. Peter boasts again about Matthew 26, verse 33. He boasts again, says, even if I have to die for you, I will not deny you. So the rest of the disciples, they boasted the same thing. Yeah, it goes for us too. We will die for you too. We will not deny you if we have to die for you. So they reached the garden, and Judas, who went to tell the leaders where to find Jesus, Judas comes with the army. Remember last week we talked about how that the cohort of Roman soldiers is about 600, plus the officers of the temple, plus the others with them. So there's almost about 1,000 people out there to take Jesus. And Judas and the soldiers arrive. And Jesus, according to the Gospel of John, Jesus said, whom are you seeking? They said, Jesus the Nazarene. And Jesus, according to John, said, I am. That's the covenant name of God, I am. And they all fell over in the garden. Jesus is showing that he's surrendering. He's not being captured. He's surrendering. Peter began swinging a sword. As soon as the soldiers got up off the ground, he started swinging a sword and cut off this servant of the high priest's ear. His name was Malchus. Remember, he made a commitment. If I have to die for you, I will not deny you. So he's taking the sword out and he's whipping him back. It could be that this falling of the troops backward gives Peter more motivation to start fighting. He says to himself, we got this. With Jesus here and all these soldiers and people lying on the ground, when they start getting up, he draws a sword out and begins to swing it around and cuts off the man's ear. That was his, remember, he made a commitment to Jesus. Jesus told Peter to put up the sword, that my kingdom is not of this realm. It's going to be by faith. He's not going to fight. Good lesson for us. It's not about protesting. not about fighting. It's all about trusting the Lord and pray for his will to be done and let the Lord provide his will to be done. So when the disciples saw that Jesus was going to surrender, they all scattered, just like Jesus said they were going to do. They were all scattered once the shepherd was struck. That's not in condemnation. That's a factual statement. Jesus said, you're going to scatter when the shepherd is struck. He didn't say you shouldn't. He said you will. And Peter, you will deny me before the rooster crows. You will deny me three times. Not you shouldn't do it, but you will. You will deny me. It's something that's part of the Lord's will. For today, on page 9 of your study guide, verses 57 to 68, the prosecution of Jesus before Caiaphas. Verse 57, and the ones who had seized Jesus led him away from the garden to Caiaphas the high priest. Now John tells us that they took him to Annas first. Annas was the first original high priest of the Jews. Caiaphas was the high priest appointed by the Jews, by the Romans, excuse me. And so he's being brought away to Caiaphas from Annas, the high priest. We're looking at maybe 12, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning that all this is taking place. And so they led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. This was an illegal trial. It was formed at night in private. Trials are supposed to be public, where everybody can see and hear. No defense offered. In fact, no charges offered. No charges were made against him. They had to try to bring false witnesses, as we will see in a moment, bring false witnesses to bring against Jesus false testimony, just to even have a trial. They're not after justice. They're after to trap Jesus. Verse 58, and Peter was following him from a distance, even to the courtyard of the high priest. And after having entered inside, he was sitting with the officers to see the end. Peter made a commitment. They see them lead Jesus away. So he had a desire to see what was going to happen. But he follows at a far distance and enters in to see what's going to happen to Jesus, to see the end. And the chief priests and the elders and the whole Sanhedrin was seeking false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. Psalm 27, verse 12 prophesies that they would bring false witnesses to testify against Christ. That's Psalm 27, verse 12. So that they might find something to put him to death. And these were false witnesses. Verse 60, and they did not find any false witnesses. Even many false witnesses had come forward. They did not find any. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, establishes in Jewish law that there must be at least two or three witnesses for everything to be established. That's Deuteronomy 19, 15. So they bring them. But at last, two false witnesses had come forward. In Mark chapter 15, verse 56, Mark states that even their testimonies were inconsistent. They didn't line up. Still haven't found two witnesses, but they used these two as a last resort. These witnesses said, this one said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and through 3 days to build it up. He's making reference to what's recorded by Jesus in John chapter 2. He didn't necessarily say it the way they presented it. Destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. But he was talking about the building, not about the building, but his physical body. He was talking about his resurrection. So he says, that's why Mark 14:56 tells us that their testimony was inconsistent. And having stood up, the high priest said to him, do you answer nothing? What do these witness against you? But Jesus was keeping silent, verse 63. Imperfect tense verb means he was in continuous mode of keeping silent and not responding to anything that the people were saying. In fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, that he would stand before them, quote, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And having responded, the high priest said to him, verse 63, I charge you under oath, according to the living God, in order that you should tell us if you yourself are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus says to him, you yourself have said, as you said it. Nevertheless, I say to you, from this time you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right of power. That's in fulfillment of Psalm 110, verse 1. See the Son of Man sitting at the right of power and coming upon the clouds of heaven. That's in fulfillment of Daniel 7:13. Then the high priest tore his garments, saying, he blasphemed. Why still do we have need of witness? Behold, now you heard his blasphemy. What does it seem to you? And the ones having answered said, he is guilty of death. Notice they said he's guilty of death because Leviticus 24, verse 16 says that if you blaspheme the name of God, your sentence is death. So they said he's guilty of death. He used the very things that pertain to God for himself, making himself God, and using God's name in vain, according to them. Then they spat in his face, and they beat him and slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one having struck you? Luke chapter 22, verse 64 tells us that they blindfolded him and came by and struck him, slapped him, spit in his face, and then adjured him to say who it was that did it in mockery to him. Throughout this ordeal, 1 Peter 2, verse 23 says, while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Then the performance of Peter, verses 69 to 75. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, verse 69. In John chapter 18, verse 18, it tells us that there were coals of fire burning in the courtyard and people were standing around warming themselves. That's very important. There's two coals of fire mentioned in Scripture. One where Peter's around now, where he will deny the Lord three times, just like Jesus said he would. But also in John chapter 21 at verse 9, it tells us there are coals of fire when Jesus restored Peter back. So Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. And one girl, young girl, a slave girl, came near to him saying, "And you yourself were with Jesus of Galilee." And he denied before all, saying, "I do not know what you're saying." And when he went out to the porch, another saw him and says to the ones there, "And this one was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath. As I take an oath, I do not know the man. And after a little while, Luke 22:59 tells us that it was about an hour. After a little while, having come near, the ones who had been standing by said to Peter, "Truly you yourself are from them, for even your speech makes you manifest or evident." Your speech gives you away. Your dialect, your accent, you're Galilean. You're one of his followers. Then Peter began to curse and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. Two strong words here, for to curse in Greek means to call down death from God out of heaven. If I'm lying, to call down death out of heaven, if I'm lying, to call down a curse upon yourself. And secondly, to swear on an oath. So again, he takes an oath. He says, "I do not know the man, never heard of him." And immediately a rooster crowed. Verse 75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, having said to him that before a rooster crows three times you will deny me. And having gone out, he wept bitterly. Peter was humbled and broken. He was ashamed of himself, not very pleased with himself. He couldn't live up to the oath that he gave the Lord, the commitment he gave the Lord. But even though the Lord said what he was going to do, he contradicted the Lord. Said, "No, that's not going to happen. I'll prove it to you." And he turned around and did otherwise. So here in John 18:18 says that there was a coals of fire at this location. Around this fire, Peter would deny three times. Over the other fire, in John 21:9, he would be restored as Jesus would say to him, which was the first time that he and Jesus spoke after this incident we're studying right here. He didn't speak to Peter. After this moment when Peter went out and wept bitterly over his failure and his humility, he didn't have Jesus speak to him again until later after his resurrection in John chapter 29, when Jesus was made some fish on the shore and the disciples were out fishing. And Jesus called the disciples to come in. And when they came in, that's when Jesus addressed Peter. You might turn to page 13 in your study guide. We have the three verses that have to do with Peter's restoration in John chapter 21. Page 13. This is after the resurrection. Therefore, when they finished breakfast, Jesus says to Simon Peter, this is the first time since he went out and wept bitterly, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" The word love is the word agape. the highest form of love. Do you love me more than these? Meaning he's pointing to the disciples. Because remember, Peter said, though all will be offended in you, I will not. These guys might do it, but not me. Peter says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. That word love is the word phileo, a friendship love. You know that I love you. Jesus says to him, feed my lambs. You see, he's in the process of restoring him. You follow this through in verse 16. Jesus said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Again, using the word agape, the highest form of love. But not saying more than these, he's just one-on-one with Peter. Peter, do you agape me? Peter says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And again, he uses the word phileo for friendship love. You know that I phileo you. Jesus says to him, shepherd my sheep. Verse 17, he says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Interesting, Jesus uses the word phileo here. He changes. He doesn't use the word agape. He uses the word phileo, which means affection. He's now challenging Peter's confession that he has an affectionate friendship for Jesus. Do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He was grieved that Jesus even challenged him with the lesser love word phileo. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. That's the correct answer for everything. Lord, you know everything. Whatever he asks me, whatever he puts in my lap, Lord, you know. You know that I love you, phileo. Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. And Peter's restored. Three denials around the fire. And three times the Lord ministered to Peter, restoring him back to the faith. Peter didn't know who he was. The Lord can only use broken vessels. The Lord can only use people who already know within their own heart and minds that they are weak and without Christ. They can do nothing, not one thing. That's the person God can use. Not the person who puts confidence in themselves, but trust in Christ for everything. He failed himself in his own opinion of himself. He didn't disappoint Jesus. Not one word of discouragement from Jesus, just factual statements. It was his will that Peter go through this hard time with Jesus in the garden and at Caiaphas' palace, so that it would bring out and expose to Peter who Peter is. And realize it isn't self-confidence. It's trust in Christ. He didn't disappoint Jesus because Jesus already knew it. But when Jesus restored him, Peter denied him three times. Jesus used three questions to restore him back. Peter learned 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Let him who thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he should fall. If you think you can stand on your own, you think you got it made, I got this, Let him who thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he should fall. It's the lowly position. It's the humble position. It's the position of realizing one's need for Christ, one's need to trust him in every situation. Next week, we'll begin chapter 27. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and your word. We thank you for what your word means to us and what Jesus means to us. We thank you that we can depend upon the Holy Spirit to minister the things of Christ in us, to us, and through us. Help us to learn the lesson that without Christ, we cannot do one thing. We have opinions about ourselves, that we disappoint ourselves all the time, and we think that we've disappointed Jesus. But in reality, he has created circumstances to expose ourselves to ourselves. We need to learn to trust him with the attitude, the Lord knows all things. And the Lord has a will for every situation. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.